Now, if you have your Bibles with you and you want to follow the public reading, I think it might be on the screen, but however, I'm reading one reading from the Old Testament and then we'll jump over to the New Testament. And the first reading is from Psalm 107. We'll be reading verses 23 to the end of verse 30. And then we'll go over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, and we'll read from there verses 35 to the end of verse 41. So commencing with Psalm 107, verses 23 to 30, and this is God's word. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them into their desired haven. Now if we go to Mark chapter 4, commencing to read at verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, curest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? We'll finish our readings there and trust that God will add his blessing to it. Let us just turn to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father, once again, we give you thanks for the opportunity to gather around your inspired word and to expound the truths that are contained therein. And Father, our prayer this morning would be that those truths would find an abiding place in each of our hearts. And as we have already prayed, Father, we will pray that we will leave this place this morning knowing that we have been in the presence of a living and a holy God, and we will indeed be enriched, blessed, and challenged to go forth and tell others about the love and the saving power of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Is it all right if I remove my jacket? Quite warm up here. That's better. Now, I'm sure you can all remember the terrorist attack on the Twin Towers in New York in September 2001, when many, many people lost their lives. I'm sure you'll also remember that was followed by the Asian tsunami, which claimed the lives of thousands, hundreds of thousands, I believe, of people. And then this was followed by Hurricane Katrina in the southern Gulf states of America. Then we had a massive earthquake in Pakistan. And then nearer to home, we had the London bombings. Then there was a cyclone in Burma, an earthquake in China, and then an earthquake in Haiti. Throughout the world in the last decade, we seem to have had nothing else but disaster after disaster, claiming the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. And of course, as if that wasn't bad enough, we have the horrific events of the Israeli-Pakistan and Afghanistan wars that are ripe at present, again claiming lives. And of course, it doesn't end there, you know, for every day there are many people dying as a result of road, rail, air and sea tragedies. Just last week, there was 8 people taken into eternity over in Donegal. All of this, my dear friends, is proof, if proof were needed, of the brevity of life. It is proof that we never know the minute when we will be taken into eternity. Some of us to spend an eternity in the presence of Almighty God, and others to spend an eternity of torments in a place called hell. There's one thing all of us can be sure of, and that is one day we will all leave this scene of time. So if we want to be sure of an eternal home in heaven with God our Creator, then we need to put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The verses we read there from Psalm 107 clearly show us God's great works of deliverance, and it highlights his almighty power. The psalmist says that God commands and raises the stormy wind which lifts the waves of the sea. And then he says he calms the storm so the waves are still and guides them to their desired haven. And then in our reading from Mark's Gospel, we read how the disciples panicked and were afraid when they ran into a raging storm at sea. They feared they were going to sink and that they might not get back to their safe haven. But here we see the words of the psalmist fulfilled in a real event. For we read how the Lord Jesus rebuked the wind and stilled the raging waters, and all became calm. My dear friends, our pathway through life can be likened very much to a sea journey. And during it, we will experience calm seas, we will experience stormy seas, and we will experience cruel seas. But to help us through these storms, we do have one who offers us a safe anchor, one who can keep us from sinking, and one who can steer us safely to a secure haven. As the basis of my sermon this morning, I want to use a tragic event that all of us will be familiar with, and I want to use that tragic event, indeed, to highlight the need and the urgency that there is for all of us to put our dependency, to put our trust, and to put our faith in the Saviour of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. So with that thought in mind, I would like to pose 3 questions this morning for us to ponder. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Is the ship that you are on unsinkable? Will you arrive safely in the harbour of heaven? The Titanic, that great ocean-going liner that was built in the Belfast shipyard, it left the port of Southampton in 1912 on her maiden voyage to New York. This great ship reflected all the security, the luxury, and the confidence of the Victorian Edwardian era. Reputed to be a floating palace, it was the size of a small town and at the time was the world's largest man-made movable object. In her day, the Titanic was one of the largest and most luxurious liners ever to have put to sea. The floors were covered with rich plush carpets, and for the convenience of the passengers, there were ballrooms, bars, swimming pools, sunrooms, staterooms, restaurants, tennis courts, a gymnasium, and a long, long list of many other luxuries. There were 3 classes of passengers on the ship: 322 first class, 277 second class, and 709 third class passengers. And of course, there was 898 of a crew. On that floating palace, the Titanic, there was 2,206 people. The passengers aboard were said to have personal fortunes amounting to more than $1.25 billion. This included property investments, jewellery, and probably like the people here in Ballymena, very large bank accounts. But now don't forget, this $1.25 billion was in 1912, so I shudder to think what that would be worth today. But mind you, in our current climate, it might not be worth much more. But the captain who had worked for the White Star Line for more than 30 years was considered to be the most able of commanders, and it was his intention to retire after this momentous trip. No ship ever built gave her passengers more confidence and more security than the Titanic. Everyone had great faith in this well-equipped ship. Man had come to the conclusion that he was in charge of his own destiny as far as this ship was concerned. He had no fear of the storms, no fear of the winds or the deep dark oceans that lay ahead. Nothing to fear. The spirit of the day in 1912 was that this ship was unsinkable. So much so indeed that a crew member was heard to say even God himself couldn't sink this ship. Did you hear that? Even God himself couldn't sink this ship. My dear friends, here we had a man underestimating and indeed disbelieving the power of Almighty God. A man who didn't know that God is not bound by our limitations or our expectations. Here we had a man who doubted the sovereignty and control of our Creator. Here we had a man who was putting his faith and trust in something other than Almighty God. How many people today are like that crew member of the Titanic? How many people today are putting their confidence and trust in something or somebody apart from God to get them through the storms of life? What are these people counting on to get them into heaven? Good works? Baptism? Church membership? Do you know that if there were a number of ways of getting to heaven, it would cause nothing but confusion? For everybody would be worrying if they were depending on the right person or the right thing. But you see, God doesn't cause that sort of confusion, and he does not leave us in any doubt. He offers only one way that we can count on to get us to heaven, and it's not religion, it's not man, it's not church, it's not turning over a new leaf, it's not good works, and it's not giving. My dear friends, there's only one way to get to heaven, and Jesus is the only way. For he himself told us, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I think that is all summed up beautifully in the words of the hymn writer, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only, our Lord Jesus, he only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. I ask you, would you like to live your life putting your trust, your dependence, and your faith on someone or something and then die and wake up in hell? Or would you like to put your trust, your dependence, your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ and be sure of an eternal home in the safe harbor of heaven with him? forever and ever. You see, this crew member of the Titanic was so like many in the world today, putting their faith and trust in material things and giving no consideration to the salvation of their soul. If we want to weather the storms of life, then we must put our faith and trust and our dependency on Christ. Without putting our faith and trust in the shed blood of our Lord Jesus, we will not receive his free gift of eternal life. To receive this gift, we need to consider and indeed comply with that verse in Revelation that we so often use when proclaiming the gospel. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. You know, right now our Lord is knocking at the door of the sinner's heart, and all they have to do is let him in and accept him as the Savior and the Lord of their lives. You know, in St. Paul's Cathedral in London, there hangs one of Holman Hunt's famous masterpieces. It is the picture of a rundown cottage with an overgrown garden full of weeds and bushes and briars. The door hinges are all rusted with the elements of nature, and standing at the door is Jesus holding a lantern in one hand, which is highlighting every part of the picture. Most people refer to the picture as Christ waiting at the door or Christ knocking at the door. The artist himself, however, named the painting The Light of the World. A critic one day said to Holman Hunt that he had made a mistake, for there was no handle on the door. Hunt replied that it was no mistake, for the handle was on the inside. One day a little girl and her father stood admiring this great work of art, seeking to understand and indeed interpret its meaning. The silence was broken by the little girl saying, "Daddy, will they ever let him in? Will you ever let him in?" Our Lord Jesus is knocking at the door of the sinner's heart, and all they have to do is open the door and let him in. Do you think your anchor will hold, and that you are unsinkable, and that you will reach a safe haven without Christ? I fear not. On the Lord's Day, April the 14th, 1912, things were going quite normal for the Titanic as it sailed across the Atlantic. Captain Smith had received warnings of icebergs, and the final message told him exactly where to expect them. Now, following normal procedures, any other ship would have slowed down, but not the Titanic. Remember, even God couldn't sink this ship. Or so they thought. About 11 o'clock in the evening, a stranded ship called the Californian had sent a wireless message to Titanic warning of the dangers of the ice. The wireless operator on the Titanic told the Californian to shut up, and he never passed the message on to the captain. All the crewmen, officers, and captain ignored these warnings because they had put all their dependency and their trust and indeed their faith on this unsinkable Titanic. Every one of them sincerely believed that their ship was unsinkable. You know, isn't that like men and women today? You know, they declare their independence from God, believing they are unsinkable, believing they can go through life without God. Many people that night on the Titanic actually laughed at the idea of the ship sinking and refused to put on their life belts. Indeed, many refused to get into the lifeboats. Today, my dear friends, many people are laughing at the idea of Christianity. Many people are laughing at the idea that someday they will face the Lord Jesus at the great white throne judgment. But listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 1. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you. But since you rejected me and ignored all my advice, then I in turn will laugh at your disaster. You know, these verses clearly tell us that we must turn to God and receive his grace in abundance. But these words also warn us of the danger of refusing to listen to what God has to say to us. These words are the Lord's divine wireless message warning us of the approaching danger, telling us not to be like the crew of the Titanic and ignore the warnings. There's a verse there in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that says, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and have suffered shipwreck. If we want to remain unsinkable, then we need to keep our faith and a good conscience toward God, or we too will find our faith shipwrecked. You know, in much the same way the people of Noah's day were warned, and in much the same way the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were warned, and just as those on the Titanic were warned about the icebergs, we are warned about the consequences of complacency and our indifference to sin. We read of the penalty of sin in the Revelations chapter 20, 15, where it says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My dear friends, we need to heed the warnings. Forty minutes after refusing to heed this warning of the ice, the great unsinkable Titanic struck a huge iceberg. 2 hours and 40 minutes after striking the iceberg, she sank with the loss of 832 passengers and 685 members of her crew. Over 1,500 lives shortened by this tragic accident and taken into eternity. Confirmation once again of those words recorded in James chapter 4, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. To ignore the warnings, to reject Christ, is to adopt the attitude of the wireless operator of the Titanic who answered the danger call with shut up. Shut up. Tell me, are you prepared to tell God to shut up? Are you prepared to say shut up as he warns us of the coming death and judgment day? Sadly, my dear friends, many millions of people already do. They seem to think the day of judgment is afar off, and they feel they don't need to heed any warnings. It says there again in Proverbs chapter 1, disaster will strike the person who foolishly ignores the warnings. But more importantly, you know, it says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. One day, every one of us will face judgment. Some at the judgment seat of Christ, but many at the great white throne. You know, just like the Titanic, every one of us have an iceberg in some form waiting for us. It might be old age. It might be a sickness. It might be an accident. It might be a disease. But whatever it is, it will come. For none of us are unsinkable. We need to be careful that we don't leave it too late to accept God's free gift of eternal life. For the Bible says now, now is the accepted time. Tell me, did any of you ever stop to think how valuable time is and what we do with time? Let me tell you what we do with time, eh? We watch it, we guard it, we keep it, we take it, we spend it, we pass it, we lose it, we steal it, and we waste it. And all the while the Bible tells us that we should redeem it. Time passes by, time slips away, time moves fast, time marches on, time flies and time runs out. My dear friends, we need to be careful that we don't run out of time. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, it says come now, and it says for now is the day of salvation. We may never, ever get any warning of death, just like some of those on the Titanic or in that tragic accident in Donegal. Tell me, is it worth taking a chance and sinking and not reaching the harbour of heaven? Or would you rather get right with God now, today, and be assured of an eternal life in heaven with him? You know, a lady survivor of the Titanic drew a graphic picture of the end of this awful tragedy. And these are her words. She said, as the great ship reared herself in the air, about to take her last plunge into the deep, scores of dark figures could be seen falling from her decks into the icy waters. For a few terrible minutes after the great ship had taken her final plunge, a wail of despair rose from the lips of those drowning men and women. One by one, the cries ceased, until at last there was but one voice of a man. In unspeakable agony of soul, he was crying out, "My God, my God." Fainter and fainter grew this last wailing cry of a departing soul, and soon that cry ceased, and all was still as death. I don't know what the spiritual condition was of those who went down with the Titanic. Just as I don't know the spiritual condition of everyone here this morning. But I can tell you that at the White Star Line's office in Liverpool, they placed a large board on either side of their main entrance. On one side they printed the words, "Known to be saved." And on the other side it said, "Known to be lost." This great ship had started its journey with three classes of passengers, first class, second class, third class, but when it ended its journey, there were only two, the saved and the lost. Relatives and friends waited outside the White Star offices in stillness and in anxiety for news of their loved ones, waiting to see if they had been saved or were lost in this tragic accident. My dear friends, I'm sure that many of us have relatives and friends who are unsaved, and we too are anxiously waiting to hear the news that these loved ones have been saved from a lost eternity by putting their trust and their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I ask again, if there are boards on either side of heaven's gates saying lost and saved, which board is your name going to be on? Till our Lord Jesus awaits our decision to accept him or reject him. He is here today. He knows you are here. He is tenderly calling you to come. Come to him in repentance. Seek his forgiveness. and receive his free gift of eternal life. You know, as I said earlier, all of us are on a ship travelling through life, and we will continue to run into stormy seas. But if we put our trust in life's pilot, the greatest captain, the greatest commander of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, then we will eventually arrive in the safety of his eternal harbour of heaven. Let me ask you again as I draw to a close. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Is the ship that you're on unsinkable? Will you arrive safely in the harbour of heaven? I hope and pray that this message this morning and these final words that I'm about to read will help you find the right answers to those three questions. And with this little poem, I'll finish. My Saviour's hand is on the helm. I cannot sink or drown. The waves dash high against my craft. It never shall go down. Though turbulent life's seas may grow and storms beset my course, a pilot greater than earth's own is my heart's trusting source. In waters calm, the soul takes rest. It feels no pang or fear. But when the tempest rises high, we want our pilot near. He is our chart, our compass too, across a wind-tossed sea. At his rebuke, it shall go calm by his authority. A greater sea awaits each soul when death takes full command. But if for our pilot we have lived, we'll gladly leave this land. We will not dread the waters deep. His harbour soon we'll see. He'll bring us safely into port with him eternally. Thank you very much for your attention. God bless you. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, once again, we give you thanks for this opportunity to look into your holy word. And Father, we pray that the lessons that we have drawn from this tragic accident so many years ago, or some of the lessons are still very relevant in our lives. And Father, we would pray through the preaching of this word this morning that anyone who is outside of Christ will realize their need and come to the foot of the cross, repent of their sins, and accept our Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord of their life. Father, we do give you thanks once again for this opportunity. And once again, Father, we would pray for the salvation of souls. And all these things we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.